good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up on the show today. It's Friday. That means Dan Schaefer will be here to recombobulate. Dan Schaefer, of course, from the recombobulation area. And I believe we're going to be talking about the latest polls from Marquette University coming out about some of the races going on. Tammy Baldwin, Eric Hovde, Kamala Harris, Donald Trump.
There's some Supreme Court, if I'm not mistaken, there's also maybe some Supreme Court news in there as well as far as likability.
Oh, yeah. They're so popular.
Yeah.
Oh, we should get that song from Wicked. So Dan Schaefer will be here at 10:33. Next hour, if you were listening yesterday, Andra Watkins, who is a New York Times bestselling author, joined us for a good three segments.
Yes.
And we were talking about the Christian nationalist influence on Project 2025. Mm-hmm. And it was a really interesting conversation. I highly encourage you, if you didn't have a chance to catch it live yesterday, go to our website, civicmedia.us, click on shows, go to Matinair on Air. It will have podcasts, episodes of every show going back as far as you can go.
Yeah.
Yesterday, she joined us at 10:33 and then stayed through 11, the first break in the 11 o'clock hour. So I would encourage you to go back and listen to that. This morning at 11:06, there's a great article from Phoebe Petrovich, who has been on the show before. She has an article in today's Journal Sentinel about we have Christian nationalists right in our backyard.
Really?
Yes, we do.
Who knew?
I know. So we will delve into that article after the 11 o'clock news. The last half hour of the show, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. I started seeing these all over Twitter in the last 2 days, various iterations of this, but we're going to do I trust Tim Walz to blank. I trust Tim Walz to blank.
Yeah. Yeah. So
there's some pretty fun ones, actually.
Text those in. You feel like Tim Walz could do what? Help you change a tire or something like that? Whatever you think he can do, text that in, 855-752-4842, or you can leave it on the live stream if you're watching on we're on the Twitter still with Civic Media if you're looking for that. But Civic Media, YouTube, and Facebook.
Absolutely. Want to start out though with let's address the squirrel in the room.
Yes. The very wrong squirrel.
Yeah, there's several really wrong squirrels being tossed around by members of the MAGA party regarding Tim Walz. Because they're trying to react to what seems to be a pretty popular ticket now, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, we expected there to be some attacks, but they're really going out of their way to try and make something out of nothing.
Yeah, because that's all they have right now is nothing.
So, his military service.
Yes.
He served in the National Guard for 24 years. He enlisted when he was 17.
Yep.
He retired in 2005.
Yes, May of 2005.
His unit found out 2 months later that they were being deployed.
Yes.
And so J.D. Vance and others now are trying to pile on and say he abandoned his unit just when they were getting deployed. And it's my understanding, and I'm not in the military. If you can correct me, please do. 855-752-4842. You put in for your retirement. It's a months-long process.
You don't walk in on Monday and say, I'm leaving Friday. You have to submit paper. You have to let your CO know. You then have to submit paperwork. That paperwork has to go through. It takes a while. And he had no idea he was going to be deployed. It wasn't like, oh, you're going to Iraq. It was like, oh, by the way,
I'm retiring.
No, that's not how it went. And if I sound curt, it's because I really do not like it when good people from the military have their patriotism questioned, because that's not something I did. I tried to get in the military. It didn't work for me, but my dad served, my uncle served, my great uncle served. And so when people call to the car, be like, oh, he's stolen valor.
No.
Oh, man.
No. And I've seen a lot of veterans speaking out on Twitter about this who are equally, if not more, offended.
Yeah.
They're ticked.
Yeah.
They are ticked off about this. And I think it's important that we see the through line here, because if you remember when John Kerry was running, And he also was a veteran.
Yes.
And a distinguished veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And they undermined his military service to the point where now it was called a swift boat attack. They swift boated him.
Yeah, and that's now just the verb.
Term.
It's the verb, yeah.
So the man behind that campaign against John Kerry is none other than one of the co-heads of the Donald Trump campaign, Chris La Civita.
What? Are you kidding me?
La Civita was behind the swift boat attacks on John Kerry. Chris La Civita now behind these attacks on Tim Walz. What a fine, fine human being.
Yeah, and that's the thing is they've been doing that since John Kerry, trying to find some with, you know, with Barack Obama. It was his swift boating was his birth certificate.
Right, right.
Hillary Clinton was Benghazi and her links to Hunter Biden. And, you know, they tried it. It worked once, unfortunately. And I've always to this day, I still feel like that was unfair. And would John Kerry have won? I don't know. I have no idea. But that didn't help him at all.
No, it didn't.
And now they're just trying it again. Another thing they're trying to say is that he's using rank he didn't attain, which is absolutely untrue. He retired as a command sergeant major, the rank under which he served, and the Minnesota National Guard has emphasized in public statements that he can be referred to as such. He didn't worm his way through. He's not lying. He retired in 2005 in May as a command sergeant major.
Ronnie Jackson from Texas, who was the pill mill doctor at the White House during the Trump administration, he weighed in on this, attacking Tim Walz's military record. Ronnie Jackson still lists himself with a rank from which he was demoted. So I guess we just need to keep in mind where these attacks are coming from.
Yeah. And also, one of the people who is attacking him is vice presidential hopeful or nominee J.D. Vance.
Yep.
J.D. Vance served in the Marines. He did that.
And he was deployed overseas.
He was deployed. But the problem is J.D. Vance is making it seem like he got deployed, picked up a gun, and went out into the field of battle. He was a correspondent. Also can be a dangerous job.
Without a doubt.
But why would you try to pull this? On what planet does this work for you?
But again, it's worked in the past.
Yeah.
These kinds of things and these kinds of squirrels, these kinds of distractions have worked for the GOP in the past. And so they're just bringing out the same old playbook, I think. It's about distracting.
And that, it's the perfect wording you used right there. The same old.
Yeah.
The same old. Because they have nothing. They can't talk about their policies.
Because they don't have any.
Either they don't have any or the ones they want to do are so divisive that they get more attention for how terrible they are, or they just say like, well, look at over there, Tim Walz. He just seems a little too happy. Doesn't that seem weird to you? He seems a little happy.
The other squirrel that they're throwing now, of course, is, and we did reference this yesterday, is Tampon Tim, because as governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz signed into law that sanitary products needed to be available for free from, I believe it was 4th through 12th grades.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, it might have been Laura Ingraham or one of the screechers over there. They're forcing boys' bathrooms to have tampons and sanitary napkins. Oh, my God. The law's actual language, my friends, provides considerable flexibility for school districts to implement this. It might mean making these products available for free in various locations for all who need them. Like unisex bathrooms, girls' bathrooms, the school nurse, not necessarily in boys' bathrooms. The local control in the law provides for implementation per school district.
And it says the state's largest school district, the free products are not found in traditional male-only bathrooms.
Right.
And here's the thing, as a male, we talked about this beforehand, even if they were in there, so what?
Well, if I remember correctly, my brothers and I used the same bathroom.
In America?
And there were sanitary products in the bathroom that we shared. I don't know. They haven't claimed any damage. Calvin, you have a sister, don't you?
Yes, I do. I've That's not an issue.
No. You're not freaked out about it? It hasn't completely changed the trajectory of your entire life being exposed to tampons?
No, it has not.
Do you think your brothers have ever voted for a woman?
Yes.
And they went to the bathroom in a room that had female sanitary products.
That's why they voted for the woman?
They're transitioning into a woman. Jesse Waters was right. If you go back to the tape, Jesse Waters says, if you vote for a woman Democrat, you're going to start transitioning. Science is real, folks. It's I have a mother. I have a sister. There were sanitary products next to the toilet. And all I knew was they're not for me. Yeah. So don't touch them. And I didn't. And some would debate my manlyhood, but it certainly, I don't think, stunted it.
Well, if you're transitioning, you're like way behind.
Yeah, and I'm only starting in like the barely chest area. You know, that's about it. Like this beard is not helping my lady yet.
No.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and I mean, playing sports in middle school and high school as the away team, you used the girls' locker room. And it was never an issue. You didn't even think about it. I mean, we had a jokester on our team who'd stick quarters in the machines and then put the tampons up his nose trying to be funny, but it wasn't
like comedy props.
Yeah, it wasn't like this ridiculous thing.
I'm really surprised that we haven't heard that. How dare they make boys change in the girls' bathrooms? And
right? Oh my God, the damage.
Oh my gosh.
The psychological damage. Oh my God.
They'll all sync up.
Andrew and Maine, tampons work great in emergency situations for plugging bullet wounds, too.
All right. Well, noted. I mean, this goes back to the thing is they have nothing new.
Well, we have to ignore the squirrels.
Yeah.
And I did. That's why we just want to spend just this one break on the squirrels that are getting tossed around, mm-hmm. all in order to distract you from the fact that Donald Trump does not look well.
No.
We're going to talk about his appearance yesterday. And Nepo Baby adjacent Laura Trump has thoughts. That's all on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Oh, to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board. That's just painful.
Is that who I think it is?
Yes. That is, right, Calvin?
Yes, it is.
That's Laura Trump with her big hit single, I Won't Back Down.
Written by a guy who probably would have thought that she, along with her father-in-law, are complete idiots.
Absolutely. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We will get to Nepo Baby adjacent Laura Trump's thoughts in just a second, but I wanted to start with Donald Trump's appearance yesterday at Mar-a-Lago. I am genuinely concerned that he is not well.
Oh, I don't think he is.
He is diminished. He seems confused.
Mm-hmm.
He seems lost. And I found it really telling as well that they didn't provide any microphones for the reporters. So you couldn't hear their questions.
Yeah.
And then that also kept them from asking a follow-up question because he never answers anything.
No, no. That's not how he's designed.
But I thought it was interesting and I watched most of it. It was an hour. I couldn't do the whole thing. So I was kind of hunting and pecking around. But at one point, Donald Trump yesterday said that he almost died in a helicopter crash with Willie Brown. That never happened.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was in a helicopter with Jerry Brown, who was the governor of California at the time they were having the wildfires. There was no emergency landing. There was no, we almost died. that just got plucked apparently out of thin air, or he's just very, very confused.
I think he's very, very confused, honestly.
And I have never heard anyone whine that much. I mean, this goes back to childhood. Did someone in his family have a bigger binky than him? He is obsessed with size and crowd size. Mm-hmm. And I did this that nobody else had ever done. Did he not have the biggest bicycle? What? Good heavens, man.
Jane, he never had love, honestly. And I don't mean to sound like he had horrific parents who did not love their children. And any affection they showed was in really monstrous ways. And he is constantly looking for validation, he's at one event this week in Montana.
In Montana, because that's going to be a tough state for him to pick up.
But that's where he wants to be, where everybody loves him no matter what. There's not any protesters in Butte or wherever he's going. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier, that press conference he did was an hour and a half. Well, his RNC speech was 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he gave another one where it was like over an hour. Then it was this one in Mar-a-Lago. You would think somebody who was a little more there would say, let's do 20 minutes, take some questions, get in, get out. But he wants to prove himself. And the more he proves himself, quote, unquote, proves himself, the more he's showing that he's a 78-year-old man. That starts to happen when you get to that age. So the problem is that he has gotten kind of a free pass from the mainstream media.
Absolutely.
Meanwhile, they're saying Joe Biden stutters a little. Well, is he even capable of doing it? But this guy's, if he would have said Willie Brown when he met Jerry Brown, he said, I was flying in a helicopter looking at the California wildfires with Willie Brown and said, oh, I mean, Jerry Brown, or even Nutty. I understand that we make mistakes.
Sure.
But to go from Jerry Brown to Willie Brown in a helicopter to an almost helicopter crash, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This is irresponsible.
Well, and I think it's irresponsible of his campaign to allow him to do things like this.
Yeah.
Like that, what he did yesterday. But I also think you cannot direct him.
No, absolutely not.
And various things I've seen from former insiders, Olivia Troy, mm-hmm. who worked in the Trump administration, some speculation about he doesn't think, he's very upset by the enthusiasm and momentum of the Harris Walls campaign.
Yeah.
And so he thinks his campaign advisors are doing a terrible job and he's the only one who can fix this. And therefore he's going to go out like he did yesterday mm-hmm. and prove.
Well, he's not wrong. They're doing a terrible job.
No, they're doing a great job. Shh.
But he can't fix it. And he can't be tamed, as you said. There's no...
You can't direct him.
I mean, there's no... We have 89 days until the election. Who can walk through the door who he trusts? Because at this point, he's not going to trust anybody outside his circle. So it'll all be the same sycophant faces.
Yeah.
A Corey Lewandowski.
Stephen Miller.
I mean, will he consult with Steve Bannon from prison? All of these are proving untenable. So they're just going to have to make their way through it and allow him to do what he always does, which is get his way, say what he wants. And I don't want to say continually turn off possible voters, because I truly don't know at this point who is an undecided. But
he said yesterday that 75% of the country is with him.
Oh, sure it is.
Which I think would be surprising to some people.
They're probably at the point now where they're just saying, yes, sir. Of course. Yes. Yes, they are.
Right. Don't disagree with him. Just tell him what he wants. It'll make it easier for all of us. All right, we only have a couple of minutes, and I want to get to Nepo baby adjacent Laura Trump has thoughts about whether or not Kamala Harris is qualified to run for president. Kelvin, let's play that clip.
Let's be honest. She has failed upward her entire career. Somehow we know why Joe Biden chose her to be vice president with him. He said, these aren't my words, these are his. We want to choose someone not based on merit, not based on their skill set, not based on the fact that they might be the best person for the job of vice president, based on how she looked, based on the fact that this is a woman, based on the fact that she was a minority woman. That's really gross as far as I'm concerned. I'm a woman. Do me a favor. Don't ever give me a position based on the fact that I'm a woman. Either I earned it or I didn't. And that's it. That's all I need.
Now, first of all,
Laura, you're killing me.
That was quite a quote to just come up with off the top of your head and just quote verbatim, apparently.
Wow.
But for those who don't know, her name is Laura Trump. Hey, Jane, who's she married to?
Lara Trump is married to Eric Trump, the lesser son of Donald Trump. Lara Trump worked, as far as I can find, for about 4 years as a producer on Inside Edition.
And now what does she do?
She is the co-head of the Republican National Committee.
Boy, it seems like someone really failed up into that job.
Don't ever give me a job I didn't earn.
Okay.
Oh, girlfriend.
Girl, you didn't even earn Eric, all right? Seriously, are you kidding me right now? It's just that vacuum. They live in a vacuum where all the words go away and there's no anything. Like, I mean, it's insanity right now. It's insanity.
I just love when they set it up for us, yeah. Greg. And it just, thank you, Lara Trump, for making our job a little easier.
This is T-ball.
It's really, really appreciate that. All right, we have news coming up next. And then when we return, we will be recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation Area. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. If you download the Civic Media app, you can call and text directly from the app. It's absolutely free, so if you haven't already, we encourage you to download the Civic Media app. That gives you the opportunity to listen to all of our stations all across the state and check in with them as well. He joins us every Friday at this time to do some recombobulating. Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation Area. Good morning.
Good morning, Jane. We a little discombobulated today.
Just
we need
slightly,
to recombobulate here.
Yeah, just slightly discombobulated. I want to remind everybody before we really jump into your latest article, Dan, that Tuesday is primary election day in Wisconsin. It's a very, very important election. There are two constitutional amendments on the ballot. No matter where you are in Wisconsin, even if you have nothing else on your ballot, these two constitutional amendments will be on the ballot. If you are not certain how to vote on them, I will give you this nugget. Robin Voss, Popcorn King, wants you to vote yes. I'm just saying.
Yep.
Robin Voss would like you to vote yes.
I think that's as much information as some of us might need.
Right? You know, I mean, I think that's pretty...
I think that's decision.
I think that's pretty succinct. And he just wants to be able to control more money that he knows best what to do with, especially in emergency situations like COVID, when they gaveled in and gaveled out and then didn't do anything for like 300 days or whatever, that was fine.
I voted early yesterday and all I wanted to do was walk around going, does anyone have questions on the amendments? I'm here to answer them. Anyone at all?
But you said there was a good turnout.
There was, I mean, for a Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m., there were three people in line in front of me and two people who camped behind me. For a primary, like, early vote.
That's, for a not sexy primary vote.
Do I think it's going to be legendary turnout? No, but do I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting turnout for a primary that's not very interesting.
Right. Well, make plans now.
Yes.
Make plans to, you know, carpool with a bunch of friends, and then you can go out for lunch afterwards or whatever. Mm-hmm. Go vote or vote early.
Yep.
Tuesday, August 13th. Very important. I'm going to vote no.
And I'll be voting no as well. And I think this is unique because this is the first time in Wisconsin's state history that there's ever been a constitutional amendment question on an August partisan primary ballot. So they are clearly the Republicans who passed this, and this passed in the legislature with zero Democratic votes.
Shocker.
To put this on the ballot. But I think it's really important to show up for this one because they're shooting for low turnout. They're mm-hmm. trying to pass this through when nobody's paying attention. So that's why it's so important in Wisconsin to be engaged every time we go to the polls. We go to the polls a lot in Wisconsin. It feels like every election is really intense. But this is an important one, and people got to show up on Tuesday.
Well, and as you said, Dan, this was a very intentional move by the Republicans. Not only is it written, are these amendments written in language that is confusing, they also intentionally put it on a primary that will typically have very low turnout. And when there's low voter turnout, they tend to win. When there's high voter turnout, Democrats tend to win.
Yeah.
It's just the way it works out.
If you go to... Yeah,
we've got a piece at the Recombobulation Area from Phil Rocco that we'll be publishing today on these amendments. So if you want to learn more about these, about why to vote no, subscribe to the Recombobulation Area so that arrives in your inbox later this morning.
I was going to also say we have interviewed Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters.
Several times.
League of Women Voters Wisconsin.
Right.
And has spoken on this as well. They have a great toolbox on their website. But you know what? Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Get your information. It's very affordable, friends.
Dan Schaefer is here from said Recombobulation Area. Let's talk about the latest Marquette poll and the poll numbers. How are you feeling about this so far?
Yeah, so this is the first poll. So the last poll that was taken for Marquette University Law School poll, the state poll, they do national polls now too, but this is on the state poll. The last one that they did was on June 26th. That was one day before the infamous presidential debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I guess you could say a few things have changed since then.
Just a couple.
In the time since that last poll. So there are a few, you know, few interesting takeaways from it. Obviously, the main one being the shift from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket for the Democratic Party. And that has changed the race in a number of ways. I think the biggest takeaway from that was the change in enthusiasm. This is something that Charles Franklin at the poll measures in election years to see how motivated people are to vote for their candidate, because that enthusiasm can often translate to turnout. So they poll whether you are very motivated, somewhat not motivated, not at all motivated. So it kind of goes down in stages there. But when Joe Biden was the candidate, it was in the high 30s for how many Democratic voters were very, very excited about voting this year. And that was in that low 60% for Republicans. So Republicans had a huge advantage in enthusiasm in this race. That advantage is now gone. With Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket, more than 60% of Democratic voters are now very excited about voting this fall. The overall enthusiasm for the race has ticked up pretty significantly. And I think, you know, just to compare the poll with Harris and with Biden, they did a poll. If Biden were still the nominee, what would the head-to-head matchup with Donald Trump look like? And that one showed Trump up by 5%. And in the poll with Kamala Harris, the similar poll with Kamala Harris showed her up by 2 or 3%. So look, it's about an 8-point swing that we're looking at when going from Biden to Harris ultimately in this race. And in Wisconsin, where less than 1% can mean the difference of who wins and who loses in a presidential election, 8% is a big deal. So I think my biggest takeaway from this poll was just that, you know, Kamala Harris being at the top of the ticket, this absolutely changes the race. This absolutely changes the whole dynamic. I think Democrats were, really, and this was before the debate. again, this was a poll. The last poll was before the debate, and it showed enthusiasm that low among Democrats. And you know, in 6 weeks later, it is right there neck and neck with where Republicans are. And I think that's a really big deal. And so you see, you know, one of the things that we were seeing in previous polls, I was calling the begrudging Biden voters, because you had people who didn't think Biden was doing a good job, right, or didn't support him, mm-hmm, but were still planning to vote for him, given the head to head between Trump, because there's just a lot of people who just are not going to vote for Donald Trump. And I think now with Harris, you're seeing that enthusiasm. You know, the most enthusiastic voters still slightly lean Trump, but it's much, 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 much closer than it was with Biden at the top of the ticket. So that is my main takeaway. It's just the enthusiasm has completely changed.
Absolutely. And as you said, I mean, the whole race has changed. The whole feeling, mm-hmm, around the race has changed. But I do think it's important, and I can't remember who said this yesterday, but enthusiasm doesn't vote.
No.
You know, enthusiasm is an indicator, but enthusiasm is not necessarily a guarantee. So please don't think that this is all wrapped up and you're not going to have to vote. No, you need, every single one of us need to get involved and be a voter.
Yep.
It's very cool. It's very everyone cool. Who's anyone is a voter. We need everyone to turn out.
Absolutely.
And I just want to say real quickly, Dan, again, I think that because Wisconsin is so tight and has always been so tight, and last time it was only 20,000 votes, we need this to be 60,000 votes, 100,000 votes, so that because they're already setting up on how we have some election deniers who are now in some state parties, they're already planning to not certify, and we're going to go through all this mess again if Donald Trump is not soundly defeated in November.
Yeah, it's going to be important to run up some margins so we don't have the type of shenanigans that we saw with the Republican Party 4 years ago. I think that is a really important part too, because I think, you know, as much as it has changed on the enthusiasm front, this is still a toss-up race.
Yes.
In Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We know it's going to continue to be a toss-up race. You know, I took a closer look at some of Kamala Harris's numbers too. You know, just by having her at the top of the ticket definitely changes the enthusiasm. Kind of gets us back to where we were a few months ago with this being a toss-up race between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I think there are still, you know, warning signs with Kamala Harris at the top of the ticket too. And I think, but I think to suggest her entry into the race gives Democrats an immediate advantage in Wisconsin would be wrong. I think it pulls them from a point of disadvantage where they were with Joe Biden to being basically back to even in this race. So it'll be interesting to see how her favorability numbers change over the coming months. Just so much has changed so quickly. You know, this poll was taken before Tim Walz, America's favorite Midwestern dad, joined the presidential ticket for this. So I think, you know, that may change things too, but I think there's some work to be done for Democrats to change some perceptions of Harris as well, because I think, you know, and this is something that Charles Franklin notes in every poll, that everybody hates every politician. The net negatives, mm-hmm, pretty much every politician polled has a net negative, with one exception, and that's Tony Evers, who has a really strong favorability rating. Charles Franklin pointed out in the poll release this week that Tony Evers is the most popular guy in the state. He's the only one with a positive favorability rating right now. So I guess that is a point in his favor there.
You mentioned Tim Walz next hour at this time, Dan, because I've been seeing this on various social media platforms. We're going to do I trust Tim Walz to ... and just fill in the blank. I trust Tim Walz to blank. And so you can start texting those in now. We've already got some good ones coming in,
yep,
at 855-752-4842. Let's talk about Lake Sitting Axe Throwing California guy. How are his poll numbers doing?
Eric Hovde, my goodness. This poll for Mr. Hovde was not a good one. It was a brutal poll for Eric Hovde. He's still down really significantly. Tammy Baldwin was up 7%, 53-46 at the top of this race. But, you know, one of the things that I always do in these breakdowns is take a look at the crosstab, see where things are trending, try to find, you know, not just where things are, but where things might be headed. And, you know, there are some polls where it's just like, oh, it looks like, you know, so-and-so was gaining ground. Some looks like they're, you know, adding some, you know, getting some favorability numbers and uptick, and maybe being head to head with a certain age group or something like that, that might be looking more favorable for a certain candidate. Not really finding any of that for Eric Hovde here. He is down in so many different ways. His favorability numbers are minus 13,
ooh,
which is really bad. And with women, he's at only 17% favorable in the state. And I think, you know, you have a lot of people who have not yet heard enough to have an opinion on Hovde, but people who have heard of Hovde don't have a very strong opinion of him, particularly women. And he's now a net negative in every age group, every income group, and at every education level among all Wisconsin voters. It's really a brutal poll for the Wisconsin landowner, Eric Hovde.
There you go.
Well, and the thing I've been mentioning is that maybe this is a race that the Republicans have said, you know what, we have other fish to fry. We have to get money for other candidates and for the president. And maybe we just let Tammy, we're not going to focus on this one because he's not a great candidate. We don't have time.
We're going to keep recombobulating with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hoping for a relaxing weekend. Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Time to start all over, make a new beginning. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon really hates that we still call Twitter, he joins us every Friday at this time from the Recombobulation Area, award-winning. Dan Schaefer is here, and we were crunching some of the latest polling numbers, talking about, wow, Eric Hovde's just doing so well. Greg Bach, I think his campaign team should keep doing what they're doing.
You know, I offered my help once to them to write some better ads and write some better top copy and whatnot. I've since retracted that offer. There's nothing I can do to help you. Keep with those videos, the weird Olympic video you just made, the mustaches, chef's kiss. Just keep doing what you're doing, buddy.
I mean, does his campaign...
He really is. I don't understand what his campaign is trying to say. I just don't understand what their message is at all. And I think, you know, so much of their ad, so many of their ads, as I've recently become acutely aware, have talked about his, you know, trying to tie Tammy Baldwin to Joe Biden. Well, now Joe Biden's not in the race. And that was basically all you were saying. So what's the message now? You know, and so I just don't think this campaign has found what it is trying to say to voters other than, I guess, we want to change. But I think it's... I think so much of, you know, people have made a lot of comparisons to Tim Michaels, Hovde joining the race, you know, a guy who has some Wisconsin connections, but has done a lot of business elsewhere and is coming back to run in this statewide race. And I had, you know, one commenter on Twitter when the poll results were coming out this week and calling Hovde, you know, he's Tim Michaels 2.0. Well, Hovde would love to be where Tim Michaels was at this point in the race. If, you know, at this stage, if Hovde were pulling Michaels' favorability numbers, that would be outstanding news for Eric Hovde. Michaels had, you know, pretty strong, pretty close to even, you know, slightly underwater favorability numbers. The poll just on Hovde is worse than any poll Michaels had throughout his entire gubernatorial campaign. I mean, it's just, you know, I think it's a, it may be a little bit different to have that competitive primary that they had in the Republican race 2 years ago. And Hovde is basically at the field cleared for him to run. But I think, you know, if people are making those comparisons, like Hovde would love to be in where Tim Michaels was in August of 2022, because he's just doing far, far worse. And his message is just clearly not resonating. And I think Tammy Baldwin, to her credit, is also, you know, running some really strong numbers. She's even getting some crossover appeal. She's getting, I think there's something like more than 10% of Republican voters are backing Baldwin in these head-to-head matchups in the polling. So I think that is pretty interesting here as well.
Well, and what I find so fascinating, Dan, is it's not like Eric Hovde doesn't have any support. I mean, we know specifically of a super PAC that's been very consistent with trying to help Eric Hovde get out his messaging. And this is the latest ad that they only buy our show. I don't know why it's only Matt Nair on air, but this is the latest attack ad. Completely real, totally legitimate. Calvin, let's play that quick.
Well, Wisconsin, the election's only a few months away. Let's look at your choices. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has spent her life working on behalf of Wisconsinites, from clean water to child care, bringing in billions of dollars for bridges and airports across the state. Snooze. She even goes to county fairs and meets actual people who live in Wisconsin. Ugh. Our guy grew up and went to school in Wisconsin. Then he moved away for 20 years until coming back to run for office. Then, after he lost, moved away again. And after years of doing great in California, he's back for you. He's not wasting time talking to Wisconsin's farmers or nurses or small business owners. He's attending conferences about cryptocurrency in Arizona, or dipping his toes in the ocean at his mansion on Laguna Beach. He knows what's best for him. I mean, he's for you. He knows what's best for you. You can bank on it. Wow, that's clever. You guys came up with that one? Wow, that's the first clever thing we ever did. Bank on it. Awesome.
Paid for by the We Got Nothing Else Super PAC. Also, Senator Baldwin has no idea who we are and does not endorse this message.
So it's not like he doesn't have any support.
I think, Dan, you brought up something interesting, which was, you know, why is he running? What does he have? I don't think he has anything. I think when he decided he wanted to run, it was just he thought, well, I'm a businessman. I can do this.
I'm rich.
And the thing is, if Tammy Baldwin didn't have the track record she had, if she was doing half as much as she was doing, then maybe they could be like, well, you know, she's a longtime politician, but she is. And they try to paint this like she votes with Biden all the time. Well, the things that she votes with gets done. So therefore,
right,
it seems like, Eric, you're not really telling us what you really want to do other than close the borders.
Well, I think he's bored. I just think he got bored. And that was his.
I do wonder if that's some of the reason a lot of these rich folks end up running.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like if they just, you know, have all this hubris of whatever they've accomplished and think they can jump into a race like this. Yeah, but you know, look, it's August. Sometimes people maybe paid a little bit more attention to the presidential race over the past 6 weeks than they have to the Senate race. So maybe once people start to turn their attention to this race, it might tighten up a little bit. Labor Day is kind of the unofficial start of the campaign for a lot of these Senate or congressional races. And so it's still going to be close. Mm-hmm. Let's not spike the football right now.
No,
right.
No, never.
Good poll for Baldwin. But I just do think, you know, the Hovde campaign is clearly struggling to find its message.
Keep doing what you're doing. Stop it. Keep doing what you're doing, Hovde campaign. It's working. It's working. You're doing great. Go.
Another Republican politician polled for the first time in this edition of the Marquette University Law School poll was J.D. Vance. So that also on the list of many, many things that happened in these last 6 weeks was J.D. Vance's entry to the race. He's not really all that well known yet. A lot of voters that need to be introduced to him. There's an opportunity for Democrats to define him there for sure.
Subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. Dan Schaefer joins us every Friday at this time. Thank you so much, Dan. Stay close. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new language. These are real.